Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. And this is your beloved brother Murad Muhammad live on your Blog Talk Radio. And coming to you around the globe from 7 o'clock to 9 p.m. It gives me great privilege, and surely I am highly honored to be able to say something to the right. Well, it's difficult, brothers and sisters, to take time out of what you're doing for your self-gratification. It is very difficult when your wife says you should be resting. It's difficult when you have a mother that worries about you and don't understand why you work so hard. But it gives me great privilege, and surely I am highly honored to be given the ability from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the gift of wanting to give back. All my life I have given back, had no understanding of why, and didn't bring me to any kind of thought to think about why. I just gave back. I watched my mother give. I watched my mother struggle. I watched my mother love. And I watched my mother when she was sad. But if I had to count on both fingers, I'll give her 2 when she was sad. But the other 8, my God, she was a proud female with a strong mind that would not take no for an answer. And she raised her children with discipline. Boy, my mother will punish you. She loves you greater, but do something wrong, you will be punished. My mother was able to understand that if she didn't punish us, whether it was a whooping or you was confined to that bedroom, or you could not do the things that you wanted to do outside. Oh, my mother was a disciplinarian. That female stood 7 feet tall. Now, you know that's just a metaphor. Well, you ain't Wilt Chamberlain, and you're not these great basketball players today. You don't stand 7 feet tall. But my mama was 7 feet tall in my eyesight. And as I grew older to understand her height, or reality, she was 4'11". But that woman had a drive and a motivation and a determination and a love for her children. There was no such thing to be left alone, home alone. No. Nobody babysitted her children. And when her oldest child, my oldest sister, got old enough, then she was the babysitter. And when my brother got old enough, it was 2 babysitters. One gave you love and affection and hugs and kisses and talked to you sweet and gentle, and that was the female. But that male, my oldest brother, he will punish you. You didn't do what he told you to do, that was your ass set. And when you got old enough like I did and started feeling my muscles, he didn't beat me with no belt. He threw up both his hands and made you fight. Now, you would punish, but you better fight or you would get punished worse. Now, that might sound cruel to you, but the way I look at it, 20/20 hindsight, that gave me strength in life to understand the difference from male and female. It made me understand that I needed that love for my mother, but when she wasn't there, my sister took over. But my father wasn't there. So who was daddy in the sense of the word? My oldest brother. Because if the child doesn't have stability in life, it's not going anywhere. So if you did good, you didn't meet my brother. If you did wrong, oh, you're going to run into my brother. And I grew to love both of them to the point when my brother decided to leave, I wanted to go with him. Why? Because I love the manhood and the discipline and the foresight and the ability to stand strong. I wanted to be strong like my brother. Love my mother. I was not trying to be a female. I was not trying to show my femininity, because every man has a femininity, and you have to make that choice, and you can choose to be feminine. That's your choice. That ain't a lot of choice. But the femininity that is instilled in that child allows you to be fair with people. You can't be bold and aggressive and destructive like I was taught to do, sis and destroy. You can't put your hands on a female brother. You can't holler at your mother, brother. You can't just fire someone because you're in charge to hurt the whole entire family, brother. You have to have that love and affection and that sensitivity to understand that the punishment does not fit the crime. Well, we've been punished by the slave master, and surely it didn't fit the crime. But most of us are so messed up that we want to be like the slave master. Oh, no. We are free, but we understand punishment. We understand oppression. We understand one trying to be over top of the other. No, you're not supposed to grow to be that. But if you don't get that love from your mother, and you don't get that love for your sister, then you become cold-blooded, calculated in society. And then you wonder why you have Bloods and Crips. Why? Because they didn't get the love in the house. And then if they got the love, they didn't have a male figure to show them you have to be duly proportioned, meaning you can't be all the way to the left and you can't be all the way to the right. You have to be balanced. I reiterate, it takes me pride, and I'm honored to be able to come to you and say something to the right for many reasons. It keeps me focused, keeps me motivated, but more important, I get my rewards from Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorify his name. This broadcast is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks. And we bring you this broadcast from Monday to Sunday, from 7 to 5 p.m. every evening, 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year. And we try not to slip or hesitate or not be able to perform. Once you take on this mic and to begin to speak to the world, yes, the world, yes, Mexico, Venezuela, Argentina, Panama, Puerto Rico, yes, China, Tokyo, Japan, Philippines, all of them, as well as the European countries, as well as Poland and Russia, England and France, yes, Africa, yes, the world can tune in on this radio show if they see fit and listen. Now, you got time zones in America throughout this country. You dial in, you listen to this show. If, in fact, you cannot, for whatever reason, we have a library. Go to the archives, and you punch in New Africa, Excellent Enterprise, Mirage Speaks, and you can hear any time you choose to. You can listen to us at 7. You can listen to us tomorrow morning at 7. If you can't listen to us at 7, you can listen to us at 10 o'clock in the evening. If you can't listen to us at 9 o'clock, you can turn us on tomorrow and hear what has happened on Monday, and so far and so on. If you come back 5 years from now, how about 10 years from now, and you go to that library and you punch in New Africa Excellent Enterprise Mirage Speaks, and you can listen to the telecast that took place 20 years ago. This is modern technology, and this is a necessity in life, what God wants from us to be able to perform in this world. And some of us think we shouldn't perform. Some of us think that we are created to be idle. We are created to be complacent. We are created to not to want anything out of life. But Allah, ladies and gentlemen, out there in radio land, and those that have tuned in, and those who go out and speak to others of things that I have said, you have to keep in mind that everything is brought in front of you as a picture to give you some type of understanding of what God is saying to you. And tonight, it's your law. We say if it pleases God, maybe I could, if Allah allows me, it's his will to be able to reach you. We say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. But before I say a word, I say it to myself, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Why? Because when you use the Arab beer, God is pleasing that you are using his language. But you don't have to get an A in school. If you get an A in school, and all A's, you are an honorable. If you get all B's in school, you are an honorable. If you get A's and B's, you're on honor roll. If you get A's and B's and one C, you're on the honor roll. But the blessing from the one that gets all A's is called super honor roll. You see the difference? What you put in is what you get out of. So you can speak to your Lord in Spanish and in English, in any language that your mother and father have taught you. For Allah hears everyone that calls on him. You can not speak. Just think of any good, or just think about God helping you. He's right there for you. But when you learn the language that God has given to you, for a metaphor, you are on the super honor roll, meaning that Allah is much pleased with you that you took time out and to learn that language that's called Arabic. Allow me to say it again. I reiterate, Arabic, not Arabic. It's because we get confused, brothers and sisters, and we are so confused for whatever reason, is because we believe that our brother Arabs have created El-Islam. We believe that our brother Arabs in the foreign country has established that they know more than what we know. And I would like to kill that myth that one has that understanding. You know, when we was following the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I take pride to say I fathered him, and I pray every night to ask Allah to grant him paradise and separate his faults from his goodness as thou separate the east from the west, and grant him Jannah, paradise. I ask Allah to do that, but whatever Allah accepts, I accept. Whatever his will is, I pray for him. Because without him, there's a whole lot of things that I would not have been able to grasp and use. So I thank Allah for putting him in my life and giving me the opportunity to see the future and to understand what the future brings. And so when you begin to understand that, is the divine knowledge. Divine knowledge, brother and sister, comes from the mouth of God. When you read the divine knowledge of the Arab ear. It comes directly from the mouth of God. But if, in fact, one is giving you language in a language in which you understand, Spanish, Italian, any kind of language of the country you're coming from, is still coming from the mouth of Allah. Why? God has no mouth, brothers and sisters. But we say mouth so you can understand that God speaks to us. And when you recognize that God speaks to us, then you will recognize without a shadow of a doubt that you can talk directly to God. So they use that in Revelation, that divine knowledge directly from the mouth of God. Yes, because it increases your limit, your light of knowledge when you speak and understand that God talks to you. But he sends his prophets. And God doesn't need his prophet, but he sends his slave servant, which is messenger, and they represent that they the prophet of God. They represent that. And their words they carry is right down to the modern time that can be applied as the end of time, meaning they know what the present is and got an idea of what the future is going to bring. But keep in mind, a prophet is one who understands something of the truth. Some things of the truth. They don't know everything, but he knows there is a God. And he feels that in reality of his righteous being is his own life. He understands that he's a righteous being in his own life because he can be pure in his clean mind and his will to follow righteousness. He is able to predict what would happen to the people who rebel against the right way. The way of the prophet is being able to predict and give you the understanding of what is to come. So he carries the name with pride that he is a prophet. A prophet is one who has the power to prophesy. That kind of a man, brothers and sisters, is not needed in the world today. There is no need for prophesizing because prophecy has been fulfilled and the whole truth is being brought out in the open. Student of Imam Waterstein, Muhammad. And these are the words that he has taught me and many more. It's just that I take pride in what he teaches, and I try to put it in my subconscious mind and understand. And as I repeat it, and as I be repetition in doing so, it comes clearer and clearer of who we are and what we are to be. We don't prophesy and tell you that we, for whatever strange reason, happen to become a prophet. The word prophecy is a wrong word to use for what we are telling you today. That's what the Imam said. What he's been telling us how we should act today, it does not mean that he, me, or anyone that's a prophet. For Imam Waterstein Muhammad was a blessing to us because he speaks where you believe that something about him is special. Oh, you're correct. He found his nature. He reverted back to his consciousness. And so we try to do that every day, revert back to our consciousness to be able to serve God. Now keep in mind we live in this world. And because we live in this world, I'll tell you many times when you hear me speak like this is because I said Bismillah Rahman Rahim. And I ask Allah to govern my tongue. So if I sound like Imam, if I sound like Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I'm human. I'm human just like the Prophet was. Tell them, Muhammad, you are mortal human being just like them. So Imam was human. So you'll see a similarity. Why? Because we are told we are a mirror of one another. So you'll see me, you'll see him, and you'll see the Prophet and all of us because he's the perfect example. This is all what it means if you put it in perspective and understand. Now catch me not doing this and rub me the wrong way. I might say something to you or it will amaze you. And you will realize that I'm not the aggressor, but I will protect my understanding and I will protect who I am. And when you attack that, you have just took me out of my humble position. I love Dr. King. Boy, we wish Dr. King was here today and we had a will. But Allah removed him for a reason. But when he was here, he was dynamic. Loved him. Loved him. I loved him. Loved the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Did I love him? Yes, I loved him. He's not here. Did I love Imam Warasdi Muhammad? I tell you all the time, I'm a student of Imam Warasdi Muhammad. I love that man. But he is not here. When Malcolm was here, Malcolm made statements. Any means necessary. Yes. Malcolm made some strong, powerful statement. And Malcolm proved that he was a fighter. The great Muhammad Ali, because Malcolm's not here. The great Muhammad Ali. Oh, was he dynamic. Oh, he float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Rumble, young man, rumble. The Louisville Lip, the man that shook up the world. Oh, he was the best ever done it. He was a fighter, but he's not here. I so happened to grow up amongst them men, and I try to take a page out of their book, that which I can use. I don't beg. I don't feel inferior. That when there's a will, there's a way. I don't have no inferior complex. I'm not indignant. I'm convinced who I am. Thanks to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Oh, I love to hear me speak. I tried to duplicate some of Dr. King's great speaker, a magnificent speaker. If I had my way, I wish I could speak just like him. Don't want to be him. I'm not going to turn my other cheek. You hit me. You hit me. That's your ass set. Ain't no turning no other cheek. I didn't follow that. But I like the goodness of it. Oh, was Malcolm bold. Malcolm said, any means necessary. Any means necessary, get it done. That was Malcolm. I learned Malcolm, loved Malcolm. Oh, was he just so dynamic in the way he speaks. So if I got to be Malcolm, I would be Malcolm. And that man that danced like a butterfly and sting like a bee, you can't hit what you can't see, that will knock you out. Oh, I learned that also. And so I believe I'm due to proportion that I have a great men that went before me that taught me, to teach me how to present myself in the world today. And today, I have to give credit to Minister Louis Farrakhan. very articulate. Oh, can he dazzle you, shock and amaze you? Yes, his way of speaking, you have to listen. Very knowledgeable. Understand what the world is about and what they are doing to us. And they cut him off. They don't give him no airtime. But is he dynamic? Yes, he's dynamic, and I love him. So you may hear a little Farrakhan coming out of me. Farrakhan learned from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He learned how to speak well. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, why do we love the devil? Because the devil gives us nothing. So I don't ask for it. I don't have to ask for something I know I cannot get. But the problem we got, brothers and sisters, is that all these great men that came for us, we can go back to Nat Turner. You look at Nat Turner, he didn't turn the other cheek. Matter of fact, there were so many Nat Turners back then that scared the whole entire slave trade. They didn't want no more Nat Turner coming up. Booker T. Washington, educator that didn't play, created his own institution, created that we can be educated and that we snuck and hid and was smooth enough to learn the education of the African American, learn the education of the Caucasians. We had to know who we were and where we came from, and that was Booker T. Washington. Should we be like him? Why not? Why not educate yourself? Education now is a necessity. It's not a luxury. E.D. Du Bois, another man. All these men out there that came before us, all of them brought something for us to learn from. And I like to learn from all. But the problem we got is that we cannot recognize that one has a gift. These men have a gift. We're talking about them today. They're not here today other than Mr. Farrakhan. But we act like he ain't there because we're scared to come around them. We're scared to utilize them. Now, brothers and sisters, when you find leaders that can lead the people out of slavery, my God, they don't care what religion you are part of. They just want to get the hell out of slavery. And that's intelligent to do. So if you got someone leading, you don't ask him what is his religion, what is his sexual pleasure. It's none of your business, and who cares? But you do want to know how we're going to get out of this trouble. So we are so hung up on jealousy and envious. We are so hung up of backstabbing and eating the flesh of our brother or our sister that we can't grow. Don't you see as a major problem in America? The major problem is that we're still living in slavery. We are stuck up without a gun. We are in chains with no chains around our wrists or around our neck or around our legs. We are mentally chained. We feel that what we ought to do is get our food, clothing, and shelter, and now our religion, people that don't care anything about us. We don't want to clothe ourselves. We don't want to house ourselves. We don't want to educate ourselves. Why, brothers and sisters, we don't want to grow our own food. Now, if that's not slavery, you tell me what is. So Allah, yeah, I said it. Allah sent you a warning to Donald King, Donald Trump. Donald Trump went and got Don King, and everybody called him a buffoon. They called him Khan. They called him everything, including our Uncle Tom, because Donald King is supporting Donald Trump. Now, I do feel sorry for Donald because he's 80-something years old, and he waited till he's 80-something years old to take this bold stand and let everybody know that he's Republican and not Democrat. So it was, the timing was wrong. But he has nobody around him to tell him the timing. But in reality, brothers and sisters, he has the right to do that. There's no compulsory in religion. That's what God says. So if there's no compulsory in religion, what makes a black man have to do what you're doing? Now, keep in mind, and I spoke about this last week, I think it was Saturday, Republican. Republican is in Revelation. Republican is something that we understand in LS9, but not the Republican you see today. Today, they have started the world. But Republicans and Democrats is the same. It's the African-American that don't know that. The same people over in the Republican is the same people that's in Democrat. I'll give you a good example. What I learned, and I learned the hard way, that in the boxing world, and I was a master in the boxing world, if you have the heavyweight champion. Now keep in mind, when I say the heavyweight champion, that includes all the champions, because the heavyweight champion is the champion. So when you have the heavyweight champion that represents from the bantamweight on up, or even the flyweight, that's the lowest one, from the flyweight on up, comes under the banner of heavyweight. When someone wants to fight that heavyweight, and you give him a chance that he can win, the promoter of the heavyweight wants a piece of that fighter. And I'll give him a chance. Well, if he doesn't, and you fight like John Tate fought Buster Douglas, no, I'm sorry, it was Weaver, Mike Weaver, when the greatest champion, one of the greatest boxers you ever want to see was John Tate, controlled by Caucasians, had the mind of the Caucasian, but he can fight. And he beat Mike Weaver's tail every round. Round 13, he just shut him up. Round 14, almost had him out. Round 15, when the 15th round came, and 30 seconds, John Tate was ready to knock out Mike Weaver. About 1 second before the 15th round, Weaver closed his eyes and threw a leaping left hook and knocked John Tate out cold. That was it. You heard no more from John Tate no more. Who was the promoter of John Tate? Bob Arum. Who's the promoter of Weaver? Bob Arum. Why? He had both sides. Because the name of the game, you don't give your title away to the next promoter. Now, there's a reason how you can beat that, but I was exception in the room. So when you're talking about Republican, they know you can come in and win. And you want to be a rocket scientist that the Republicans win not as much as the Democrats. So you think they're going to be on one side and lose for 4 years, 8 years? No. They make deals. You just don't know about the deal. So common sense, you have to have both sides. Your emotions and your feelings, you're going to only have one side. You lose, you lose. See you in 4 years. See you in 8 years. And he gets back in. They don't play that game. You either play that game or they find a way of shutting you down. And they don't care about your mama, your daddy, your father, your sister. They don't care about your dog. If you don't do what they ask you to do, that's your life. Keep in mind, brothers and sisters, that we call them a devil. Now, this is what a devil do. A devil will call Coretta King and play tapes of another woman calling Dr. King. You know how you women call out your man in the compassion of love? Well, they played that to Coretta. Was that Martin? No. But they subliminally tried to seduce her to make her think that's her husband. So it wasn't working. And so they started sending other women and men telling her that Martin is with very different women. That will mess up anybody. But in the movie, J. Edgar Hoover was portrayed, told the President of the United States, we have to get rid of Martin, because Martin is not changing. And the President told them, no, you cannot. His brother was the Attorney General. And he told them, you couldn't do it. He said, well, the only way we can solve this problem is to kill him. This is in the movie. They play these things for you. You go see it, wow, ooh, and 10 days later you forget. So that didn't happen. So Coretta called him in and asked him the hard question and played the tape for him. He said, that's not me. He wasn't lying. It wasn't him. Coretta was smart. She says, and I will quote her, a lot of things stick with me. I don't forget. I can recollect. She said, Martin, I know that's not you. Why is she saying? Because she know her husband in the bed. And even they lied on her, him that was him. It was not him. But there was some validity. There was some validity to Martin having other women. So she says, Martin, do you love those women? Now Martin could say, what women? And he would have lost his wife. Do you, Martin, love those women? And Martin said, no, I do not. She didn't take him like most women will do and make you go to confession. She didn't tell him to confess. Just wanted to know one thing. Did you love him? No, I don't. And so therefore, she stuck. So Martin upset now. So Martin goes visit the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Yes, did you know that? They had a meet. That was too powerful for America. That Martin would go with Dr. King and sit down with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that don't care anything about the white man in America. Boy, he called them devils. So now they got to get him. But how did they get him? Someone in Martin's camp, Dr. King, allowed Dr. King to go to a motel. Now, how do you take a man as powerful as he is and have no protection around him and bring him into a hotel that you can look across the street and see another hotel, another windows that leaves him vulnerable? That means it was an in-house. I'm not saying Jesse Jackson did it. I'm not saying Abernathy did it and all the rest of them, but someone in that camp was working with the FBI. And they set him up, brought him out with nothing on, nobody around him, and killed him. So because that's what they do. They have him killed. So, yes, they killed Kennedy because of the Cold War. They killed Kennedy. But the brother who wants to run for president knows what's going on. So what did they do? They killed him. So, my God, two brothers back to back is killed. I ain't no black man did that because he can't get that close. So it was done by who? Caucasian. And whoever killed them, they did. So nobody can tell what went on here. The moral of the story, brothers and sisters, that you got it in your own family. Now, they don't know how to shoot. Take that out of your mind. I just show you that people will murder. So they murder you through their tongue. They are cold blood. You talking about hypocrites and devils. See, what y'all was taught, and I'm not separating us, that a red man in the earth with two horns and with fire is the devil. No. Look in the mirror. You can turn devil. I don't care if you brown, yellow, black, or red, which we call the white man. You can be a devil. And you can come in sheep's clothing. You can come as a sibling. You can come as a sister-in-law, brother-in-law. You can come as a friend. You can come as an uncle. You can come. That's the one that gets in your bosom. Can nobody else get to you? Just like nobody else could have got to Martin. There's no way in the world that a stranger could come around the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. There's no way in the world that a stranger could come around Imam Wallace D. Muhammad. There's no way in the world that you can come around Minister Louis Farrakhan. We don't play those games. You can't penetrate to us. But yet, we learned something they have done. And we were taught everything belongs to that seed is dead. That's what we were taught. We were taught if Mr. So-and-so did it, everything he loved is dead. Oh, association brings about assimilation. That's what they do. They will kill you. Kill your children. They will kill your father, your mother. They'll kill your dog. So nobody will talk. Today, you inferior, incompetent, dependent, low-lifeted individual you are, that's what you do to your own family. That you want to kill the credibility. You don't care about the wife. You don't care about the children. You don't care about the grandchildren. You don't care about the nephews. You don't care. You just want to kill the image of a man or woman that has established in their life as being an idol and an icon for everyone. You will poison the mind. If that's not worse than a bullet, see, a bullet can kill you and it's over. You're gone. Takes what, a second? You're dead. But words can last. And you can't get rid of it. They call Michael Jackson a pedophile. If they were to say he was a dope addict, y'all wouldn't have cared. If they say he raped a girl, y'all wouldn't care. But they knew if they said that he molested children, and then pay these little diabolical mothers that got their child for a few million to testify that he touched them. Y'all went against them with no proof. Matter of fact, he was vindicated. But y'all was jealous. He was envious. Why did Michael Jackson gotta be so great? And so y'all boycotted him. The poor guy had to go through this. He survived and left the country. He made a mistake. He came back home. And what they do? They killed him. I know they blamed it on the doctor, but you need to go back and study. But y'all don't care. Y'all just sing his songs, and he'll be history. And our children got to look in the library to remember a great performer and singer is Michael Jackson. That's what they do. And that's why you don't care, and that's why they don't care about you. So you get raided and you get upset. The great Dr. King. Why would Abernathy have to tell what he did when he slipped? He was a handsome man. He was a great speaker. You don't think the women don't want him? He get who he want. But you take his social life with what he did for the whole country, what he did for us, and you would shame him and write a book about him and destroy his credibility. But God is great. God is great. His children stood up. Nobody talks about it. The reason I'm talking about it now is to paint a picture for you. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Oh, he had 6-7 wives, young girls. Some got on TV. Yes, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad impregnated me. But that same woman that was used for a reason, go see her child. Very successful. Very competent. Go see the seed of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'm not trying to condone anything. But what he did for the so-called American Negro, what he did for the downtrodden people. Now, I don't know all of you millions of people that follow him, but let's take the Three Musketeers. The outstanding one was a dope addict. I say outstanding because we loved him. He was the first magnificent individual. But he was a dope addict. And he snorted coke, he took dope, and he sold numbers to his women on the block. Yes, his name was Malcolm. And Malcolm went to jail, brothers and sisters, because Malcolm was pimping white women. That's a no-no. He had got caught with a few black women, he did a year. But because it was a white woman, it gave him 11 years. And Malcolm went to jail for picking locks and breaking in entry and stealing in the precious jewels of a victim. It was Harry Cock. You saw the movie. I ain't telling you what you didn't see. But the point is that Malcolm was paraded as a revolutionary. You ever look up the word revolution? Revolution is something that begins and goes to the end and starts all over again. He was no revolutionary. He was an evolution. He evolved from drugs. He evolved from prostitution. He evolved from picking locks. He evolved to the level of coming back out of that dead world, out of being deaf, dumb, and blind, out of being down in the gutter. It raised up cause of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Yes, he was assassinated. May Allah be pleased with him and grant him paradise for his good deeds. Because they only assassinated him because how he was talking. Timing is everything. It was the wrong time. So I don't have to be an angel to prophesy what I can see. Malcolm made his agenda because my mama taught me sticks and stones may break your bones, but names will never hurt you. And Malcolm left a beautiful family behind. And them girls are magnificent because their mama was the cornerstone. Now, she left here with tragedy because of a grandson not knowing what he was doing. But you can't take that. And Malcolm talking about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and say he's going to hell. Well, people have done worse. Murderers have murdered people. Malcolm didn't do that. Not in his right state of mind. But then came Minister Louis Farrakhan. Did you know that he was a great athlete? Oh, could he run? Can he jump over barricades? He was a great athlete. And he learned the violin. And he had buck teeth. And he was on Broadway. The white man's heaven and the black man's hell. Oh, he can sing. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad came to him and cleaned him up. He walked away from business. And he was taught by Malcolm. He was Malcolm's assistant in Boston. He called him Louis. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told him, go get your teeth fixed. And when they assassinated Malcolm, they asked our minister, James, to go into New York. Why? Because North didn't play. And so he sent in a man that was raised in the prison from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and said, son of thunder, go take over New York. But son of thunder didn't want New York. He only went over there because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told him, go over there, because it was some bad times at that time. And he knew he had the heart. And there's no one in Newark that don't have the heart to walk anywhere in the country. We was raised different. And what happened is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad started sending Jeremiah Muslim Shabazz from Philadelphia. Another one. Nothing but heart. So you had two men, one from Jersey and one from Philly, holding the boat down. And here comes Louis Farrakhan. And when they came in, that man taught. Why, a couple of years, 5 years later, you forgot all about Malcolm. Farrakhan dominated New York. Matter of fact, the East Coast. It's just that those in Philly love Jeremiah. Those in North love Minister James. But we gave him credit because he was the national spokesman, just like Malcolm was. Then they found a man. That's when Malcolm was alive. But he was out. Named Muhammad Ali. He was Cassius Clay. He was owned by all them in Kentucky that was white. Wouldn't let them eat in a restaurant after he won the Olympics. They didn't care about him. No niggas allowed in the restaurant. He came to El Islam. Well, we didn't call it El Islam at that time. We called it Islam. Changed his name from Cassius Clay. Cassius Marcella Clay. To Muhammad Ali that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave. He became great. Are we on live? Howard Cosell. Yes, champ, you on live. Are we on live, Howard Cosell? Yes, you on live. Are we on live, Howard Cosell? Yes, you on live. Ali, I ask him. Why you keep saying, are you on live? It's because he knew what he was getting ready to say they would cut him if it was a tape. But after he won the fight, "Are we on live, Howard?" He said, "Yes, you're on. I thank Allah for the honorable Elijah Muhammad. Allah is the God. Allahu Akbar." Woo, sent the message all around the world. "I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest of all time." Yes. Brothers and sisters, he became a phenomenal. The Muslims in the foreign country loved him. Because they didn't know there was Muslims in America. Ali put us on the map. Now, how in the world? I just mentioned a few. How in the world did this man with a third grade education from Augusta, Georgia, named Elijah Poole, meet Farad, and he teaches him Islam, and look what he reads? And you got a nerve to talk about his social life. Why, we are little devils working for the devil. You want to kill his image because you didn't do nothing. You want to take the goodness from the man and destroy his family that loves him and his sons and daughters, because he had 9 children, I believe. How is it that you do that? Shut up. Why would you want to destroy his legacy? And you couldn't do nothing. You broke. You ain't married. You don't have nothing. So what? Someone call you a name? Who heard it? Nobody hears it because they don't give a damn. But you want to destroy a good name. Because someone told us that Christianity is in a war with El Islam. You are a fool. You're stuck on stupid. And that's what the white man wants you to know. And you go against your family members. You go against your family members because you want to be seen. And it's backfiring because people are saying, "The hell with Abernethy. You won't even hear his name no more, for he was trying to destroy Dr. King." And me is just saying, "The hell with y'all who talk about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad." "Oh, Murad, what about Imam Wahdeddin Muhammad?" Good question. He didn't raise him. He handed him a different book. He handed him the Holy Quran. And his feet couldn't even touch the floor. He said, "Wallace, you study this." All through the Nation of Islam, Wallace gave trouble to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was smart. Well, he said, "I didn't come here to teach you religion. One after me will teach you your true religion." We have a brother that comes on Friday named Imam. Imam. Imam means leader. He is the brother over the top of the masjid, is called the imam. He leads everyone into prayer. So with him being a leader, just like you call someone your priest and someone reverend or rabbi, it's just like calling Musa imam. Ask him where he got his name. He went to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and he says, "One after me will give you your true name." So he heard it personally. He was lieutenant. Yes. He didn't know who that someone was going to be, but he was raised in one. But he told all of us that one will come after me. So Wallace was put out because he would say things that he wasn't supposed to say. It wasn't the time yet to teach us El Islam. We were dirty. We were dancing on the stage. We were singing. We was playing instruments. We was pimping. We were selling women. We were doing drugs. We were doing numbers. We were doing all the despicable. Or we was great athletes, but we was Uncle Toms, like Cassius Clay was. We did all the despicable things like Malcolm was. We perform on the stage and sing and dance and tap dance like Mr. Farrakhan was. Look what those men have done. If you had to count them, Malcolm brought millions in. Mr. Farrakhan brought millions in. Muhammad Ali brought the whole world in. Now, how is it that we knock the Honorable Elijah? Who you brought in, Sheikh? Who you brought in, Uliman? Who did you bring in, Imam? I was in the masjid last. Brother and sister, we got a brother here who's going to take Shahada, which is called Shahada Tain. But you can't count how many people took Shahada with Minister Farrell. You can't count how many people took Shahada with Malcolm. You can't count how many people took Shahada with Muhammad Ali. For if you put them together, three-thirds of the Islamic world in America came from their mouth that was taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Yeah, put that in your pipe and smoke it, because some of y'all smoke. But you don't want to give credit because you're still in slavery. And let me tell you something else. When you get sick, because you will, you're going to reflect back. Call on your Lord to help you. That's when you really know God. It's when you look like you're dying. And you're going to think about the things you've done. That here you take a man's credibility and try to destroy it because of your jealousy and envious. And you try to spread his name around. Now, again, I reiterate, listen carefully. It ain't going nowhere. But Allah punish you for bad intentions. That bullet didn't hit me, but you pulled the damn trigger, and you missed me because it was the will of God, so Allah charged you with attempted murder. Even man does that. Attempt to destroy Dr. King's credibility. You attempt to destroy Malcolm, who tried his best. You attempt to destroy the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And now today, you are attempting to destroy the legacy of your man, Wallace D. Muhammad. And you want to know something, brothers and sisters? Go and check out those who accept and now reject. They got nothing. They losing everything. They can't multiply. They just existing. Oh, Allah don't like an ingrate. You want more, you give credit where credit is due. They don't want to give them credit. Now, all of them that I talk about, that's deceased, will make it agenda. Oh, Marat, you ain't God. How you know they're going to make it agenda? Brother, you don't read. You say you read. You don't read. You're saying you don't read. You see, the prophecy is the wrong word to use for what we are telling you today. The imam said that. It's the word to use for what we are telling you today. We don't tell you, in fact, what is going to happen if we are going to prophesy and give you the sense of direction, it is not prophesizing. No. The very word of prophecy is subjected to a lack of knowledge. It means that the person cannot see all the way. He sees only part of the way. So he predicts the rest of the way. This is the day and time in which we are doing prophecy anymore. Not doing it anymore today. The divine mind sees the way, the knowledge that's given to you by the divine mind, brothers and sisters, will make you greater than prophets. What that means, Imam is saying, he is saying we can see all the way today. Allah don't need no more prophets. That's it. So I can see that Malcolm made it the gender, because I use my intellectual divine mind. I can see that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad made it to gender. For you brothers that use this myth that he came and taught us religion, you are a liar. You're a liar. Did he clean us up? Well, go ask the former dope dealer. Go ask the former dope addict. Go ask the former woman that prostituted her body. Go ask the liar, the hypocrite. Go ask the bank robber. Go ask the thug. Go ask that person that don't want nothing out of life. Go ask that former pork eater. That one that believe in idol gods with a cross around their neck, and that God has a son, and he look white. Go ask them. Well, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad cleaned us up. Ask them that question. Did you come from dope, brother? Go ask them. Come from being a fornicator, sister? Go ask them. Now, I ain't get all of them, so I'm going to wobble. You know, they still drink a little bit and still get high a little bit, but they better. They pick who they want to have sex with. You see, brothers and sisters, when you come into a divine mind, you don't enter into a female and think later whether you're going to marry her. Both of y'all committing sin. You see, that's the problem. Islam is not being taught, but call this station on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. You will hear that we put it in perspective. No such thing as free sex. There's no such thing as bad intention. You enter into the body of the female and y'all think about getting married. Well, you both are committing sin. That's Islam. Yeah, I said it. Let me reiterate it. Any man that goes into a female that say he's an Islam, I ain't talking about Christianity, because Christianity don't know this. So you can't charge them. That's why the Muslim sister that says she's Muslim go get a Negro, because a Negro don't know what she's supposed to know. Or he would tell her, well, ain't you doing something wrong? Now she feels bad. But she can't go get a brother, because she may not like that brother, but she got to get her Jones on, so she got to have a Negro. I believe you got to go get a Negro. Maybe some go get white folks. I don't know. But you got to go get someone that is a Christian, so the Christian don't know. He ain't going to tell nobody, because he afraid that the brothers might do something to him. Well, I'm telling you, brother, we ain't going to put our life on the line for nobody that chose to be for mistress. If that's what she want to do, that's her life. That's her answer in the day of judgment. But no, you cannot lay down with a man and you ain't married to him. Now, a whole lot of them do it. Then you got some fake out. I'll marry you today, do it to you for 3 months, and let you go.
problem we got is just think about it. The Christian says you have to get married. Isn't that something? And the Christians, they get married, but the marriage don't go right. Oh, the priest giving, they got all the singing and the dancing and all the food, but 3 months later, you're divorced. Well, don't that tell you, it wasn't Christianity that keeps you together. It's you and him. But you're married for the wrong reason. I married in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, hell, it didn't work. You keep marrying in the name of Jesus Christ, it don't work. But then some of them are so abused, and they use the phrase, well, God frowns upon divorce. Yes, that's a saying, but you put it in the wrong perspective. What divorce is God talking about? He's talking about you divorcing that man that brought you AIDS? You talking about that man that whooped your tail? Are you talking about that man that abused your children so you ain't going to divorce him because God's frowned upon him? Well, you ain't reading. You're a full-grown man and woman, but mentally you're a child playing with toys. Put it in perspective. When you divorce the nature, the soul, the spirit, what God breathed into you, when you divorce that, you become a cheater and a liar and a drug addict and an alcoholic, then God frowns upon you. When you put up a God the size God or a man on his level, then you have just committed a crime. But what you do down here on earth, he gave you enough intelligence and gave man enough understanding how to punish you. Well, he don't need to, all he got to do is tap into our intellect. That's all he have to do. You got to understand religion, sisters and brothers. You got to come into the knowledge to be able to understand the word of God. You got to understand the nature of the divine growth. The knowledge is powerful. No matter how good or how righteous you are, if you don't have the knowledge and you are weak and less in favoring your God or being blessed with the knowledge of God rewarding you for goodness by blessing you with knowledge, he gives you knowledge to protect yourself. And then you increase the word against the strength of the devil. Evil people who does mystery things and oppress you. Yes? That's what they do. And you got to understand that you got to understand the divine meaning that God increases your knowledge. That's what God does. He increases your knowledge. And that's all I'm trying to do is increase your knowledge. You see, my brothers and sisters, Emmanuel S.D. Muhammad, he said, Allah also made the airplane. Why? Because they fly in the air, in the sky. I know you say you did it. But he gave you a brain. He gave you man and put it on earth. And a man uses his brain when he studies the earth. He got the material substance to make an airplane. Where did the material substance come from? Although Allah didn't make the plane, that's what you think, but he made the divine way
Allah made it. Allah gave the man the brain to make and think from his brain and give man the earth and provide him with the material needs of the earth. How did he give man the help? Outside of that, he created the bird that flies in the air and showed man that he too could make something to fly in the air, a bird. So man looked at bird and said, I can do that. And created a plane. That's how Allah works. He don't come and say, oh, Marah, yes, Lord, I'll make a plane. No, you got to read his creation. That ship that sails on the sea. You don't think Allah helped man learn how to make that ship? He created the trees to grow near the water. Allah grows the trees, many trees, for many years. Then they get old. Their limbs break and fall off in the water. Man sees that this tree is floating. And then they see the turtle and the frog. They get on it and ride it to the rest of part of the country, wherever it takes them. That's how they do it in the water. Man saw that. Oh, man, let me cut off some branches and put it together and make a canoe. Now I'm sailing like the bird, like the frog. Here we go on, brothers and sisters, how Allah shows us we didn't know nothing about material substance. It came from the earth. We thought it was an earthquake. We ran like hell, came back and saw these material substances that we can use. So everything is a sign. So he gives you the sign, brother. He gives you the sign, sister, that you got to use your moral decency and understand that marriage has nothing to do with the rituals. You can have a party. You can dance. But you really love that man? Then open your legs and allow him in. Because he make it, I know, you take a pill so you can't get pregnant. I ain't talking about you. So you open your legs and you let him in. Oh, I know you're 50 or more. You can't have no baby, so you don't give a damn. I'm talking about that young girl that just lay over her legs and just have fun, and now she's pregnant. And he don't want her. Didn't want her from the beginning. Just wanted what you gave her. So Allah gave you morals. He go in there, he's your husband. So in El-Islam, if you really, truly are in El-Islam, that's a known fact that that is your wife. And if you don't come to that understanding, Allah will punish you. Don't touch her, brother, if your intentions ain't honorable. But in this society, it comes after the fact. Oh, we're getting married. Oh, my God, you just getting married. Well, you're going to have fun tonight. How am I going to have fun? Because she and you have been doing it for the last 6-7 years. So it'll be fun because you done gave her dignity. No, brother, I've never been inside her. Oh, so it ain't going to be no whole lot of fun. What you mean? I love her. I saw her heart. She saw my heart. Is she a virgin? Eh, could be. I don't know. We'll soon find out. But that wasn't the reason. I'd marry her because of her heart and her obedience to God. And it's the right thing to do. Now, I don't care what religion you're in. You would be a Christian. If you laying down, it's a sin. If you don't marry, it's a sin. If you don't want to get married, it's a sin. If you want to be a nun, none in this world, it's a sin. That's not what God created you to be. So let's get it straight. So you got Christians saying, oh, that's not his wife. You ready to send him to hell. Yeah, you God now. He going to hell, but you don't look at yourself in the mirror. But I'll tell you this, brother. When you learn this, and a woman you enter into, when you come in this understanding, that's not your wife. That's your wife. Regardless if the state of New Jersey or the state of Illinois, or the state of any part of this country. How about the United States of America? It's not God. But you have to have good intentions. That's my wife. And you don't need no man to say, do you take this woman to be your wedding wife? Well, however they say it, no, you just enter into her and you have consummated the marriage if you're righteous. Now, you don't do anything else you want to do. That's your prerogative. But if you enter into her, she's your wife. See, in El-Islam, see, I taught the Quran. And then I said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allah sends it to me. There's no format in front of me. I didn't know what I was going to talk about, but Allah gives it to you. Oh, I know that's spooky for you. But I trust my Lord. I hear and I obey. I do not question God. You question God because you're dealing with your intellectual mind. But Allah didn't write the Holy Quran on your forehead. So you can talk all that stuff you want. But Allah wrote the Quran on your heart, on Muhammad the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's heart. That's you. Because the heart doesn't question God. So the soul tells you something about that woman is my wife. You may shock her because she don't expect it coming. But you can feel it. And then when she hears you talk, brother, she say, I do, because she feels it. It's something that we all crave for in our soul. I know we use words, this is what I want all the time. No, it's there in the womb of your mother. This is what God wants for you, to get married. Because our Quran say 2, 3, or 4, you got Christians that don't even know their book, ain't practicing their book, alcoholics, screwing anybody, long as they can get this and get that and play like they nuns. At least the nun plays like they nun. They do everything behind the door, but then there's babies, babies after babies after babies in them churches down underground. Yeah, they found them. They found them. Well, who pregnating them? You can't go against the will of God. You think you can, but you cannot. And so you make your children a devil. Your child don't even respect your mother because you put it in them. They want to be just like you. Anything bad about that child, they want to be just like you. Don't bring a man around and you just shake. Oh, that little kid, he likes the way you shake. Now he want to shake. And now he want to wear high heels like you. And he want to put stockings on because you constantly tell him his daddy ain't no good. And then you want to justify it and say, oh, this is what God willed for him. Well, let's look at that since we on it. Telling me God made a mistake? That he gave him a penis and gave you a vagina? But you supposed to be a man with a vagina and he's supposed to be a woman with a penis? And God made a mistake. And, good God, there's no mistake in the will of God. That's a mentality. And the mentality was molded and shaped in your house. So when you saw him with a high heel, you should have ran and got you a husband so the man could have had a father that would have taught him how to be a man. But you don't care because you're angry. You're upset with that man. Until you forget you got a vagina, now you want to be a man. And someone tells you, oh, this is natural. No, it's not. Allah, the God, does not make mistakes. You will never, ever see a bird trying to be an eagle. And you will never see an eagle trying to be a jaybird. And you will see and never see all of the birds trying to be a pig. And you won't see a pig trying to be a horse. And you won't see a horse trying to be a donkey. And you won't see a donkey trying to be a cat. And you won't see a cat trying to be a dog. And you won't see a dog trying to be a rat. For all of them in God's creation stay in their habitat. But you human, have a right to be a dog. She ain't nothing but a dog. Hey, dog, brothers call you, hey, dog, what's up, dog? Those bullets. Kate going to jail. Man, he got life like a cat, 9 lives. You telling on people. Don't you believe, man, the man is a rat? He is stubborn as a mule. The animal is saying, what are you giving my name for? I ain't do nothing to you. Well, you will never hear an animal tell another animal, are you human? What do you think, you're a woman human? You're a cat. I know they call you pussy cat, but you ain't no woman. You ain't no man. You ain't no human being. You can't stand upright, but you can get down there. And they tell you, what are you doing down here in animal kingdom? Because you stoop down to the lowest part of your flesh. And your intellect is not thinking anymore. So you can't get out of the jam that you're in, that you put yourself in. So before we close out, allow me to get to the point that if we don't come together as human beings and operate in this society as one unit, human family, and forget our differences, we're going to destroy ourselves and our future. And our children is going to be very upset while you're dead. And they will curse you. We pray for the deceased, and it's pleasing to God's ears. Now, he don't have no ears, but that's a metaphor. It's pleasing to him that as human beings respect his creation, the deceased. Prayer is powerful. But who you got praying for you? How many people come to your gravesite? And when you take the worst the human being and destroy it, when they dead, Allah punish you. What you doing while they're alive? You mistreat the human being while he's alive, and that's why I am a nappy. Nobody cares. That's why them sisters that came up and talked about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, nobody cares. But what's going to happen when you go and be judged? And Allah says to you, isn't you the same one that tried to rule people there, but yet you had no facts, no proof, but you tried to destroy, and now you begging me to put you in paradise? Oh, I know you don't think it's coming. You say you believe in the hereafter, but you don't, because you ain't trying to get there. You're not trying to get there. You see, when you get a certain age, you come into understanding. But Allah will try you. He can't try you with money because you never had it. Why would Allah try you with something you never had? Your little $50, $100, or your $2,000 a month, $2,500 a month, or $50,000 a month, or $300,000 a year, whatever that is gone. You work, and it's gone. Oh, you can see $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, but you ain't got no money. So Allah will not try you with that. But he will try you what you like. You like alcohol, he's going to try you. You like drugs, he's going to try you. You like sex, he's going to try you. You like to be an egotistic maniac, he's going to try you. Whatever you like, he's going to try you with your wife. He's going to try you with your children. For God says that your wife and children are nothing but a trial to you. Did he not try Noah? But for some reason, Allah came to the Jews that was in poverty and oppressed by Pharaoh. Who did he send? To Moses. Look at Jesus. For they was oppressed. They was being killed. And then Allah sent them Jesus. Look at Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Idol gods walking around the Kaaba naked. The Arabs is most 100 people on the face of planet. Then I lie, send them 100. But you feel a lie going to send us anybody. And we've been in slavery for 400 years, so no, none of us going to come. So when one raise up amongst you, you get jealous, envious. And then you wonder why Donald Trump is saying what he's saying. Why, brothers and sisters, he's saying all the right things. Because he's pulling the cover off all of them. That's why he got some legs. Not a leaf fall from the tree without the will of Allah. So Donald King is just at the wrong time. But Donald Trump is at the right time. You see, Donald King, you got to read the story. Put Hitler's book down. I guess you mastered that. But pick up the book of Abraham. Pick up the book of Abraham. And Abraham was a righteous man. And Abraham was married to Sarah. And the king wanted Sarah. He didn't tell the king that was his wife. He said, that's his sister, so he can save his life. You turn around and jump on Donald at the wrong time. Timing is everything, man. He could have said, yes, that's my wife. I'm a righteous man. He would have been dead. He would have killed him. So you kill your whole credibility on the wrong time. Timing is everything. I asked Ray Robinson, why did he knock out so many people? He said, timing. Got it. You have to be on time. This is a time of manifestation, brothers and sisters. This is a time of religion. You got to understand that Allah is coming to us. Al-Hamadin, day of religion, but we owe a debt to God. My God, you all out there that trying to knock your brother down and your sister down and talking bad, you owe a debt to God. And you can die tomorrow. They dying, four died in 1 week. You and me can be next. But that's where you want to go to your grave. You want to go to your grave, try and destroy one's empire. Empire is just not money. Empire is not material wealth. Empire is a legacy. A legacy. Here's a man known all over the world. In every newspaper there is. When he speaks, people listen. Rich people call him. But when he comes home, his family members say, oh, he did this, he did that, he did this, he did that. Yeah, you can say that to the ignorant. Yeah, the ignorant, he don't care. He want to feel that way. But when intelligent people hear that, they walk away and say, that's got to be a damn fool. That got to be a fool. Because there ain't no way this man did all this, and then all of a sudden, he did this. All of a sudden, that Dr. King unscrewed all the women. All of a sudden, that Malcolm X talked bad and lost his life. All of a sudden, Ali done had women from this one to that one to this one to that one. But now the future of Ali's legacy is dead because you want to talk about what he has done in his personal life. And I want to help the people out there that might fall victim. Well, hell, you wouldn't have fell victim. Allah allowed you to make that decision. And those little children that fall victim, Allah will help them. Who else did not fall victim? All of us fall victim. Even Adam fell victim. He ate from the tree. But look at Adam the day I found her. Ah. So how is it that we destroy our credibility? I was in a situation. Oh, man, it took a whole lot of money from me. Now, where I come from, you hurt them terribly. Now, I had a choice to make. Do that, and that's all your satisfaction would be. Let him go on, and treat him like your brother, because you shouldn't have gave it to him if you didn't have it, and watch how you will escalate in life. You get one for one. You give somebody something, and then, you know, you got damn fools out there. That's what I call them, a bunch of damn fools that tell somebody, yeah, man, he ain't going to make it to heaven because he owe his debt. You don't see that in the Holy Quran. All of a sudden, your little petty debt that somebody owe you. It was, yes, but they can use the money. What? You wait. You don't put pressure on your brother. See, this is why people lose their lives. Because they stupid. They will shoot you over money. But if you shoot the wrong one, you die, your children die, everybody die. You gone now. But you didn't know you got a bunch of people being buried over one diabolical mind that shot the wrong person. This is crazy. This is insane. Allah placed a burden on a soul that it can't withstand. I can't withstand it. Believe me. Talk about me. Keep my name going. Whether it's good or bad. You want to spell it right? M-U-R-A-D. Spell it right. What are you talking about me? But I'm more hurt for them. You got men that will lie to you. Literally lie that they don't have the money and got it. They will gamble. They will do everything. They will play numbers. They will do everything but tell you they don't have it and think they're going to grow. But then when you look at their lives, you would say, damn, they ain't did nothing in the world. Nothing. They don't have nothing. They just existed. And if they wasn't part of a community, they might have 50 people come to their gravesite. Well, that's a sin in LSI. That means you don't belong to a community. Now, we just had a janazah, a brother's wife or wife, husband or so-and-so. But because of the community, here they all come. And all them praying for the soul. Who you got to pray for you? We don't think we're going to die. You better wake up. As the saying, they smell the coffee. I don't drink coffee, but I understand, because coffee, you can smell it a mile away. You better wake up and smell the coffee that you can lose your life at no time. You have to understand that, brothers and sisters. If you don't understand that, something wrong with you. Something is wrong. And you should be able to realize, in the sense of the word, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there for you. You put God first, and you put God last. That's what you need to do. And if you do that, I'm telling you anything, that them Jews came from bad circumstances. And their life was controlled by the masters. God wasn't pleased with that. So I told you, he raised one from amongst them. Look where they became, the modern-day Jews. Scientists with their skills, mathematicians, electrical engineers. Look what they became, because they accepted one that came from amongst them. His name was Moses. And it happened in the time of Jesus. Read Scripture. When the learned ones that was bossing everybody, the people was very excited that a man called Jesus came. When they learned where he was from, how could he be able to take us out of this hell? They didn't like where he came from. And you got to remember, in the Bible, the land of darkness was right there in the eastern part of the world. Idol gods. And they sent them a man to unite everybody. Allah chose Muhammad, became their leader. Look at the contribution of them there in the East. My God. These men became phenomenal. Because one came from amongst them. And they began to appreciate that Muhammad was in his excellence. And here we have one come to us from our past, namely man Waruddin Muhammad, and taught us how to come on the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, and taught us how to stand in our righteous nature, taught us how to understand how to bow in such a prayer, how to respect God and see the words of God and operate on the words of God and read it for yourself, Iqra. Read it for yourself directly and a God will talk to you. And if you were able to give your soul, your spirit, give your consciousness to God, then he will reward you. You will see the change overnight. Overnight, you will be standing up in your spirit. You'll be standing up in your soul. You'll be standing up in your taqwa, your God consciousness, and you'll come back to your El Fitr, the nature in which you was created, and brothers and sisters, you will be God conscious. And when you're God conscious, then you don't talk the way you talk about the people that God has raised. There's no way the university taught Dr. King. There's no way the university taught the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. There's no way the university taught Minister Farrakhan. No way they taught Malcolm. It is not written anywhere that the university taught Imam Waruddin Muhammad. What all God got to do for you is to come here through the womb of a female and say, I am your Lord? Oh, you out your mind, you waiting for that. Well, Allah was here a billion years, it could be longer, but a billion, you can't wait. You ain't never seen a billion. Can you write it? A billion years, this was written. A billion years. That's why I use the word be, and it is. It ain't just happened. It was written in your womb we will be in this day. But this is a great day. Because you got men like me talking like this. You got imams. You got ministers. You got pastors. You got rabbis talking like this. Everybody is not no good. Well, when you study, you want to make an agenda. So you got to tell the truth. But we human. We bleed, we fall, we get sick, yes, and we got to tell you a lie to get out of the trouble we're in. They shot this Muslim. You a Muslim brother? Yes, bang. You a Muslim brother? Yes, bang. You a Muslim brother? Yes, bang. You a Muslim brother? All right, save that one. You a Muslim brother? Guess the next one caught on. No, I'm a Christian. Oh, some fanatic individual tell you, oh, don't tell no lie. Tell me you're a Christian. You die like the rest of them. You better know what time it is. You walking around looking like you from the East instead of putting on a suit and tie so nobody would look at you out of the naked eye and come out and they shoot you in the back of your head. I don't know how that brother got shot. Oh, brother, that must have been the will of Allah. Don't put that on God. Don't put that on God. You got sense. You got common sense. You understand? These sheikhs that come over here, you don't see them dressed like that. They put on suits and ties, and you think they Caucasian. I went to buy, my wife will tell you, I went and bought a suit one day, I was going, I don't buy suits, but I was looking at them, and I was buying a suit, and the man said, I said, where are you from, brother? He said, I'm from Egypt. Oh, you Muslim? He said, yes, I'm Muslim. And I'm walking around looking, and I said, my brother. He said, yes. I said, what is your name? He said, Isaac. I said, man, you Jewish. Ha, 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 ha. But I wouldn't know. I thought he was Italian. And that's the way they come over. But he's smart. He don't know who I am. He don't know if I'm coming there to shoot him. So he was Italian. The Jews got it first. You know the prayer we pray? Oh, Allah, make Muhammad successful. And the followers of Muhammad successful. As thou did make Abraham and the followers of Abraham successful. Well, that's the latter part. But the first part is, oh Allah, bless Muhammad. So you first ask for the blessing. But the second part, after you get the blessing, now make us successful. Because you can be blessed with faith, but you ain't successful. Successful like who? Like Abraham and the Jews and the Christians. Ain't Abraham was their leader? But those followers of Abraham were successful. They was blessed to follow Abraham. And what do we do today? We follow Abraham. But do we have success today? Oh, we pray for it, but we don't get up and go get it. You got to get up and go get it, brother. Allah ain't going to let it fall from the tree. You got to go get this, because if you don't go get it, you ain't got it. And we pray on Friday. That's our Jummah prayer. That's what we're supposed to do. But we get up and go to work. Ain't no day that we have a rest. Who told you that? Where did that one come from? Yeah, I know you rest on Saturday, my Jewish brothers, called Sabbath Day, which means Lord's Day. That's what it means, Lord's Day. And I know you sisters, well, the seven-day venture practice what the Jews practice. That's their day. Their day of rest. Sunday, day of rest. And El Islam, I know y'all say Friday is our day. No. Lord's Day, our Sabbath Day is every day. Today is Allah's day. Tomorrow is Allah's day. The next day is Allah's day. You know, brothers and sisters, I can do this all day long. And we have people in the hospital that's ill. We got Saladin's sister. We did a dua for her, and we all should. You got brothers that passed away, that janazah is coming up, and we have the deceased. See, but when we do a dua, we say things like the king or the ruler of mankind, the God of judge of mankind, from the mystery of the whispers of the evil who whispers after, who withdraw after his whisper. He whispers in your ear and then he withdraw. Yeah, go talk about so-and-so, and then he runs because he can't do it or she can't do it. The same who whispers into the hearts of mankind. They touch your heart with feelings like a snake, just like a snake. Moves swiftly, but the swift moving, they don't have legs, they don't have feet. It's your feelings, and you allow your feelings to get in amongst the jinn and amongst the man. See, the jinn, brothers and sisters, is a creature that heard a beautiful recital, but the jinn is. And the devil is so evil, he whispers amongst them, not just you, but the king and the ruler of mankind is Allah. So we make these people from our Holy Quran so we can understand that we talk directly to God. And that was in English. So don't let nobody tell you you can't reach Allah in English. If I said anything to offend you, I apologize. That's not my intentions. I love you. I love you more than you love me because I have understanding to love you. If I split any verb or misquoted any part of Revelation, I'm human. You understand what I've said. You understand the point. But if you want to stand up in your spirit and you want to stand up in your soul and you want to venture out with your spirit to ask why you're doing what you're doing and you can define it, and you come back to your consciousness of God and understand your fitra, your nature as a Muslim, one who submits to the will of Allah, give that credit to Allah. I greet you from all of the prophets, from Adam to Noah to Moses to Jesus to Abraham to Muhammad, the seal of the prophet, with the Arabic words from the Holy Quran, Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for listening.